Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much for allowing us to get together again, Lord. It's an awesome time for us to be able to talk to our friends, our brothers and sisters. And we ask, Lord, that you lead us tonight and guide our talk, Lord. And we thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. We're going to learn something. Listen to great testimonies and anything that'll glorify you, Lord. That's what we want to hear. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do in each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. Any prayer requests? I want to pray for Robert Coker. He was on here before. He's been in the hospital a couple of days now. Lord, I just lift up Robert to you, and I thank you, Father, that he is completely healed. We've already prayed the prayer of faith for him. We command that colitis to go from him right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that there is no obstruction. He is absolutely healed in the name of Jesus, and we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that they're not going to find anything in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
I'd just like to pray, Anna. I come home and Anna said that she had a pretty bad day. A lot of things went south. And Obi wasn't helping at all. And so, Lord, I come against all these enemies that are coming against Anna right now, especially preparing stuff for the pot blessing on Saturday, Lord, I bind them in the name of Jesus from any more interfering with Anna or Obi, Lord. And I thank you that it is already done, and bless everything she does, Lord, especially making stuff for the group this Saturday. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless all them women out there that are making this pot blessing a success. In Jesus' name, amen. What are you grinning about, Missy? Yeah, it's going to be a great one. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Lord, I thank you that Saturday is going to be an absolutely marvelous day. An absolutely fabulous day. And Father, we praise you for that. We thank you for complete sunshine, hot sunshine, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, Barbara. Okay. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Testimony? Praise report? Got a song you'd like to sing? By the way, Missy, I really did like that song that you sent the other day. That was awesome. That's an awesome song. Amen. All right. Nobody else? Got anything they want to share?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Matt. What's up, buddy? Go ahead.
All right. I come against all the enemy, Lord, that is trying to come against this outreach, Lord. And in case anybody's having any trouble getting onto the outreach, Lord, I come against the enemy preventing that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that it's done. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay. What do y'all know about discerning of spirits? What is the discerning of spirits? Anybody tell me? I know y'all studied up on it. It belongs in, as I put on the web, it belongs with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And as part of the revelation gifts. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And that's the order that they ought to be in. Is the word of wisdom, of course, is foretelling. The word of knowledge, of course, is present time or past. And the discerning of spirits. Now, what's the discerning of spirits? Anybody just give me a short deal on the term discerning of spirits?
Well, isn't that where you sense the spirits in someone? If someone had a lot of, spirits, like a spirit of religion or a few of them like that, wouldn't that be discerning what's in a person?
Well, that's could be. It is, just to put it in a nutshell, the discerning of spirits is supernatural insight into the spirit world. Supernatural insight into the spirit world. All aspects of it. You put those three revelationary gifts together, and it encompasses everything that God knows, if you think about it. The word of wisdom, what is that? That's God's mind. That's telling everything that God knows, right? He knows what's going to happen. He knows the things that are going to happen. What's going to happen? That's in the future. And the word of knowledge is what's happening right now or what's happened in the past. And then the discerning of spirits is what's going on in the spirit realm. And that pretty much encompasses everything that's going on, right? Anybody want to add something to that? There's a whole lot about discerning in spirits, and we've got all kinds of scripture that tells us about discerning of spirits. There's a lot of things that we call the devil, as a matter of fact, and demons that are mostly just the flesh. As most of you probably already know, Galatians 5, and we're going to just talk about what is not spiritual, okay? Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now, here's what the works of the flesh are, okay? Here's what the works of the flesh are. And this is something I just found out here just recently. The works of the flesh, I've seen it many times, but I didn't equate it with the gifts. But it's there. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's the works of the flesh. That's not a spiritual work. Now, that doesn't go to say that because of your flesh that you've opened up the eyes to opened up the door for demons to come in and to magnify that particular fleshly thing that you have. And what's interesting in that particular one, spirit of idolatry. We've often talked about that. The spirit of idolatry. That's a flesh thing. That's something you ought not to be doing. That you gotta kill the flesh. You have to curb the flesh. And how do you do that? Ask God to help you, don't you? Yes, God, to help you to get rid of that flesh, to get rid of, if you've got hatred in your heart, that's not a spirit of hatred. That's hatred. That's flesh. Just like the word says. Heresies, witchcraft. What is witchcraft? It's manipulation and control, isn't it? Manipulation and control. That's flesh. And so once we figure out what's not spiritual, then we can figure out what is spiritual, right? A lot of things that people are called the devil. It's not the devil. It's just the flesh gone crazy on you, you know. So we need to get things squared away as to what's what. You know, a lot of times we want to see a devil behind every tree when in fact it's your flesh. We have to deal with the flesh rather than the devil. You can call it a devil if you want to. It's a devil, all right, but it's your flesh that has to be curbed and killed and taken out. And then when you have trouble with something like that, hatred, murder, and these are glaring examples, adultery, idolatry, witchcraft, or any of those things, and you just ask the Lord to take it away from you. And then believe from that point on. Of course, we're going to get into faith in a little bit, but I wanted to get through discerning of spirits because it is part of that, those two things that we went over last week, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Anybody want to add something to this?
So you're separating the flesh from the discerning of spirits. Does that mean so that you can understand what it is if you're not analyzing somebody, but does the Lord would tell you with discerning of spirits if somebody had a spirit, correct? If there was a spirit behind the person as opposed to just their flesh?
Well, he can, yeah. If you're in the Word and you're listening to God and you can hear God's still small voice, yeah, absolutely. He can show you a spirit that's there. I've seen spirits in people. I've seen their eyeballs just be black as, you know, pitch. And that's a demon. But also there again, unless the Lord tells you that there's demons involved, you know, it's mostly flesh. Mostly flesh. Discerning of spirits is the spiritual world. That's opening up the spiritual world for us. I'll tell you something that's discerning of spirits is like if the Lord gives you you know, people have seen through a vision the Lord Jesus Christ, haven't they? People have through a vision or through a dream or through some kind of supernatural experience, they've seen the Lord. That's a discernment of spirit because the Lord says, nobody has seen me after he's glorified, right? It's just a discernment of spirits. You're seeing in the spiritual realm. You're seeing God as a spirit. Remember what happened to, was it Moses? When the Father, he wanted to see the Father. Yeah, he wanted to see the Father. He said, I want to see you, Lord. I just want to see you, man. Come on. And the Lord told him, he said, I tell you what, you get over and stand on that rock. And I'm going to put my hand over you. When I go by, I'm going to turn it loose. And all he could see was his backside. But it was a simulation of God, he told him. And that was a discernment of spirits. Y'all getting the picture now of what this is? Discernment of spirits. It's a supernatural gift of discerning of spirits. The supernatural gift of discerning of spirits could have with it, and it works with it a lot of times, the word of wisdom. It could operate with it. You know, you see the Lord in a vision, or you see the Lord in a dream or something, and he gives you a word about something. That's a word of wisdom, you know. and the discernment of spirits working in conjunction with each other.
Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
I was wondering about the scripture in Ephesians 6, verse 12, where it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers."
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you were saying that those were the ones that you read in that other scripture were like, you know, works of the flesh. And so how would you, you know, looking at verse 12 in Ephesians in chapter 6, how would you?
Okay, when we have a fleshly desire, we have let's say we have an idol, okay? For an instance, if you have an idol, you've already opened up the door for the enemy to come in, haven't you? And he's going to sit there and he's going to help you with that idol. He's going to be hammering you with that idol. Now, that when I say that, the word says that that is a fleshly thing, but it opens doors to the demonic to come in and play with you. And so that's why the Lord told us that our fight is on our knees against those principalities and powers of the air, because they're going to help you mess up if they can, right?
Yeah, they sure do.
And if that's the case, then they're sitting right there with you. Now, that doesn't go to say that they're possessing you, but they're out there influencing you every which way they can. Somebody that goes against God's word is always influenced by the demonic. But when you go against, when you're in these other things that Galatians 5, 19 through 21, that's all flesh, and we have to ask the Lord to get rid of that for us, to help us get rid of it. Hey, Julie. Does that make sense, Gano?
Well, I was, you know, I just was thinking of that other verse, you know, when you,
which one?
When you brought that up, I guess.
Which one are you talking about?
Oh, well, you were going from Galatians, and I was, just a minute. Could you not have your phone speaker? I can't see.
Galatians 5,
I 19.
Galatians,
yeah,
5,
Galatians
19 through
5,
21.
19 to 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I was looking at that one in Ephesians, and mm-hmm. I was just comparing those, and you had said that those weren't spirits, but that was flesh, and I was just wondering, you know, just going back to the Ephesians one.
Well, I can only go by what the scripture says. Scripture says that that's a fleshly thing, but as I mentioned before, when you're in those things, when you've got hate in your spirit, you got all of those other things, any one of those other things, you've opened the door to the spiritual, haven't you? And they're going to be there influencing you. They're going to be there doing their best to keep you into the flesh. And so that's why the Lord tells us, you know, your spiritual warfare is on your knees, isn't it? To get rid of it. You're asking the Lord, get rid of this idleness out of me, Lord. Get rid of these idols for me. Help me to get rid of these idols. And what he'll tell you to do is that throw the TV out the door. Throw the internet out the door. Throw this, throw that, whatever it is, you know. If it's hate, he's going to ask you, what is hate? Hate is unforgiveness. And so if you've got hate, you got murder, that's unforgiveness. Any of these other things that you see there, that's all flesh stuff. And so we ask the Lord to help us to get rid of it on our knees. That's a spiritual warfare. Okay. Anybody else got something else they'd like to add to that? Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Is that you, Brandy? I believe it is. He ain't listening, is he? He's over eating something. Okay. All right. Does that make sense to everybody? Has anybody got any questions on what I just said? Hi, Julie. We're talking about discerning of spirits. The gift of discerning of spirits is supernatural insight into the spirit world, where there are divine spirits as well as evil spirits. The discerning of spirits can be manifested to reveal the human spirit, that is, the good or evil tendencies of the human spirit. Discerning of spirits, then, deals with three kinds of classes of spirits: divine, satanic, and human. Matthew talked about the human part a while ago. For instance, remember when John on the Isle of Patmos saw the Holy Spirit as seven spirits before the throne of God in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. And that simply meant that in the spirit realm, John was seeing these seven aspects of the spirits of God. Discerning of spirits, that's what that was. They can also reveal all kinds of angels. One time I saw a bunch of angels. I was at a prayer meeting up in the hills of up in the Ozarks, and this guy lived right up on top of a mountain in a double wide trailer, and his deck went out and you could see the whole valley up there in front of you. And we were praising God, and I looked out the back door going out to the deck, and I saw a bunch of angels out there milling around. I said, "What is that?" And they were just milling around. They were sitting on rocks out there. And then I just got up and went out there. And when I went out there, I saw a bunch of warrior angels just straight directly out in the air. But they were had their horses out there, and they were dressed like Roman soldiers. And they had their swords and had their horses all. They hadn't mounted up yet. They were standing around with their horses, you know, out there. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of them out there. That God was letting me see something. And that was probably, oh, I don't know, probably 12, 15 years ago that I saw that. And then when I was here, when I came here about 5 years ago, I had another vision of those same horsemen out over the thing there. I just saw it in my mind. It wasn't a vision, more or less, than it was just an impression. And he showed me those men, warrior angels, mounted up. And I think God was just letting us know this thing's fixing to happen. And that was 5 years ago, you know, 4 or 5 years ago that I saw that. So people who see angels and who see the demonic, I saw a demon. First demon I saw was in West Memphis, Arkansas. And we had gone to this lady's house. She was, you know what a hoarder is? Somebody that hoards stuff and they just stack it around them and all this kind of stuff. She was one of those kind. And somebody wanted us to go in there and pray for her. We prayed and prayed for her. And this little imp jumped down off of a stack of magazines or something and was running out the door. I said, "What in the world is that thing?" And it was just a little old thing about 3 foot tall, had a great big old head, looked kind of like Matthew. No, I'm kidding. It had a big old head and old spindly legs, and it had a sharp teeth all the way across his mouth. It was like a cartoon character. And I said, "Don't even slow down. Keep going." And he went on out the door right by me, and he was hissing at me like that when he was going out the door. I said, "Don't do that. Get on out of here." And that was my first experience of seeing one of them little imps. That's discernment of spirits. That's seeing in the spirit realm. All right, anybody had an experience with discerning of spirits?
I guess my question is, you know, some people want to jump real quick and start casting out demons and, because they're doing that spiritual warfare. Is that, I mean, we can blindly do that, which I think sometimes that's what's being done, because we're going by maybe what we understand. But, I mean, if you really don't know if that's what you're doing, if that's what you're casting out, kind of a stab in the dark, right? I mean, it'd be better to have a discernment of spirit so you know exactly what it is you're attacking or casting. I mean, it seems to be more profitable. I don't know. Just my thoughts. I just, because I know it's, I've done it too. I thought, well, hey, we'll cast that out. And you're just kind of throwing things out there because you can do it. And I don't know.
Well, that's true. Here's something like what I was talking about a while ago. When you have a spirit that you have trouble with, that you're having trouble getting rid of, not a spirit, but a fleshly thing that you're having trouble. Anger is a big one. You know, anger gets a lot of people, and they have trouble with it. They can't keep from getting angry. You know, that guy irritates me. He just irritates me. You know, or the next guy will irritate you, or that woman over there that opens her mouth so wide all the time. That just irritates me. That's anger. That's something that's a fleshly thing. But there may be a spirit there egging it on too. And so you're perfectly okay in going in there and casting that spirit out. But you go ahead and minister to them, saying, "Now look, we cast a demon out. Now it's up to you to walk in the sinless way. And if you got a problem with it, rebuke it. You know, rebuke that hatred, rebuke that anger, rebuke whatever it is, and it, you know, and that'll work."
I guess what we're, go ahead, Matthew, go ahead.
Sorry, I'll just be really quick, Dave. Isn't the, you know, when you cast something out, you got to tell them, you know, to fill up that room with Jesus. Otherwise, you know, they come in a worse state than what they were beforehand.
Well, you have to tell them to fill it up with the Holy Spirit, right? And the Word of God. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, that's one thing, you know, you should tell them before you do it, you know, hey, before I do this, you've got to be wanting the Lord and wanting to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's just going to be a whole lot worse.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about that guy we saw in the trailer house one time? We was out evangelizing, going door to door, getting up there and said, and we wanted to know if he wanted us to pray for him. He said, yeah. I said, you know, I got, there's something in here that opens doors all the time and slams the cabinet doors and does this and he does it, turns the water on, turns the stove on and all that kind of stuff. He said, can y'all get rid of that? I said, sure can. I said, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I said, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and get in the Word and be filled with the Holy Spirit, seven more worse than that one will come in here, and you think you got problems now, you won't have problems, so you need to accept the Lord. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll tell you what, let's wait on that. Said, I kind of like my beer and my smoking right now. I said, well, you need to think about it because it could get worse anyway. But anyway, I thought that was kind of funny when he said that. He said, I'll tell you what, I think I'll just wait on that. I said, okay. But anyway, that was just one funny experience. Anybody else?
I guess I was going to comment. I said that saying that what you're saying is if we see a fleshly manifestation, somebody's manifesting hatred, anger, jealousy, idolatry, you know, we go through the list, lust, you see the lust coming out, what they have to say. That's basically a demon usually behind that, motivating that person to use his mouth. And it's it's not that he's demon possessed, but he's definitely being pushed in that direction.
That could be. It could be.
It's his will, plus it's probably the demonic realm pushing it along.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, that's why, good point, David. That's why these teachings on holiness and perfection is necessary in the church. And we won't have the problem we've got if we had some of that from the beginning, you know. But, yeah, it's mostly flesh. That's the number one enemy is the flesh. That's what the Lord said, wasn't it? He said that's his enemy. That's his number one enemy is the flesh.
I kind of have a problem with that sometimes because, you know, I like to at least maintain some kind of stay in shape a little bit, you know, so I can still move around and do things. You kind of devote a little time into yourself, you know, take care of yourself a little bit, but at the same time, not to take it to the point where you're idolizing your features and everything else about you, you know what I mean? Because back when you're young, you always want to look the best you can because you're, you know, you're always trying to look good around the girls or whatever. And but when you get older, you're more concerned about, well, I just want to maintain what I got, so I don't, you know, I don't want to lose what I can do. I want to keep on being able to do things. But so you have to kind of take care of this body a little bit. I'm trying to find the not that I get hung up on that, but at the same time that I can see where, you know, we are in the flesh here because we have this flesh. We do kind of take care of it a little bit. Try to have that balance where you're not trying to go beyond just, you know, trying to become that superhuman again. You know what I'm talking about? But at the same time, still have a place where you take care of yourself, but not take it and use it as an idolatry. I guess that's kind of trying to find that balance. You know what I mean?
No.
I used to stay in shape a lot. I used to, because I was in taekwondo, and I used to run. I mean, I was really good.
I wasn't. I just pulled my pistol out and shoot them. I never had to learn with that stuff.
I used to tell people that see that my gun. I said, well, you can go get your gun, but I always have to get them, you know. Anyways, I used to take things to extremes to a degree to stay really in good shape. Now I don't, but I still recognize it where I have to do keep myself at a level so I can still function because I'm getting older, you know. I'm trying to find that balance where I can take care of my body but not make an idolatry like it was.
Yeah, I understand. Well, we all should eat right? Eat good bologna. Don't use that. Don't eat that old junk bologna. No, we should eat right. At least, you know, eat one good meal a day anyway. And as far as exercise, you ought to get you a little exercise every now and then if you can, you know, you should. But like you said, don't make it an idol. Don't make it something that you have to do. It's got to be law. I got to do this today because if I don't, man, that 2 pounds going to hit me hard. You know, or whatever it is, you know. No, don't put yourself under the law. You're right there. But as far as these spirits go, it can be an idol. Exercise can be an idol. Eating right every meal can be an idol. I mean, boy, you limit yourself some good food. I'm telling you, when you drop into that mindset, ain't nothing better than a good old big juicy hamburger with cheese on it. And man, oh my goodness, it's so good. So you can't limit yourself to just salads and peaches and avocados and that kind of junk. But you can don't make it an idol, you know. What are you laughing about, Matt? But that's the truth. Don't put yourself in the law. Be a little, you know, be a little bit open to a little bit of everything. What did the Lord say? Be content where you're at. If you go to somebody's house, don't complain about that old greasy hamburger. Just go ahead on and chow down on it. Okay, how'd we get off on this? Let's back to discerning of spirits. All right, anybody got... has anybody got a... Go ahead, Missy.
Well, going back to the whole anger thing, you know, that's the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, anger is unforgiveness, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a matter of your heart. you know, too, you know, forgive from the heart, you know. So, you know, you can't really deal with the anger either unless you deal with the unforgiveness, realize you have unforgiveness. And what goes along with that, too, lots of times is self-righteousness and pride, too. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, you don't realize that by being angry and unforgiving towards someone, it's like saying, you know, you don't realize you're saying, you know, well, I want to be forgiven, but I'm not going to forgive you. Well, wrong. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. So.
Well, how many times have you heard, well, I can forgive them, but I ain't forgetting?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, I heard that just the other day from back in Arkansas. And I said, well, if you don't forget, then you're not forgiven. You know, I mean, give me a break. That's just a natural. So what do we do if we forgive with our head, but it's still in our heart? There's no unforgiveness. No forgiveness there. How do we get rid of that?
You ask the Lord for the grace to take it out. And what I've realized is unforgiveness, you know, you could ask the Lord to help you most of the time, because it's not something that really, I mean, the Lord can give you that gift of being able to forgive for someone. But what I've learned is, you know, forgiving from the heart, you can't do that until the Lord, sometimes it's a slow healing of your heart to forgive from the heart. You know, sometimes, you know, as long as you want to be forgiving and you're willing to forgive, you know, you ask the Lord for the grace to be able to forgive, then, you know, it's sometimes it's a little by little thing, you know, because you realize, okay, you know, something will come up into your mind and you're like, you know, something from the past that someone did to you, or, you know, you or someone brings up someone's name and you're like, you know, you kind of have an attitude and you have negative thoughts. So, you know, any negativity, you know, like that, especially if it's you've had issues with a person before, and you know, that bitterness, and there's a lot of things that are indicators of unforgiveness. And as soon as you recognize it, you know, you just need to repent and say, oh Lord, okay, take that out of my heart. You know, it's just, I mean, it's like, Lord, give me the grace, remind me, okay, don't allow me to you know, when someone brings up someone's name and I have this negative thought about them, especially because of something of an issue I had with them or whatever, it's like, okay, Lord, help me. Don't let me go past that. Help me to recognize that so I can repent of that and forgive them. It can be a gradual layer by layer thing, you know, until the Lord completely deals with you about that. So.
Amen. I remember a lady that used to be here, that she had unforgiveness in the heart, and she didn't really understand that she still had it. She thought in her mind that she had forgiven, and I believe it was an ex-husband or whatever it was. It didn't make any difference, but she still had that unforgiveness in her heart, and she was having a terrible time. I mean, she was not a happy camper. Any of the time that I ever saw her before, God had to take her to death's door in order to root that unforgiveness out of her. But he did. And he got that unforgiveness out of her. And I'm going to tell you, that woman was changed dramatically. It was night and day. I'm going to mute you. It was night and day. From the time before and the time she repented, she didn't like me at all. I mean, that woman did not like me at all. I can't imagine that. Can y'all? Anyway, she called me a couple of days later, And we talked for 2 hours. We didn't talk. Hey, listen, we were praising God. I was praising God for her deliverance because she was so happy. I mean, she's shone like a light, like this light right here. She did. She was absolutely changed. And it was awesome to see. And that's what you can look forward to if you've got something in your heart, that's unforgiveness or anger or something like that. Ask God to get rid of it. Like Missy was talking about, and he'll do it. But you have to walk with him to get it done. You can't just think he's going to sit there and rip it out and you not do anything. Go ahead, Dave.
You said it brings up a good point. I mean, you can have some people, and I still have some people that I don't have really unforgiveness for them. They're very deceptive people to be around, you know, not the kind of people you trust. Kind of like being around Jesus and the Pharisees. I mean, I have nothing personal against them, but I know what they're like, and I know what's driving them. And so I kind of avoid some people. I don't necessarily have unforgiveness, but there are some people I don't go out of my way. If I see them coming, I might go the other way. Kind of like I'm not going to look for trouble either. I mean, I don't know if that's a bad attitude, but there's just some people that are, I have nothing against them personally. I just know that they're not really going to be up to any good. They're driven so hard in the flesh, and they're so worldly in their way, and they're really out to, you know, manipulation and control. It's out there, the witchcraft. So I avoid that. I mean, I don't know if it's a bad attitude or not. I just wanted to throw that out there, but maybe that's a wrong attitude on my part. I don't know.
Well, some people do that, and some people, like myself, I make it a point to go say hello to them. I do. I make it a point because I don't want that unforgiveness in my heart. I still remember that pastor that had that wreck. That it killed him. And he'd had a spat with his wife just before that. And the Lord took him to hell. And when he came back from that hell, he said when there was just the least little bit, I mean, it didn't. He could spot it a mile away. He said if there was the least little bit of antagonism in my wife's voice or anybody else's voice, he said I'd walk away and go get in the bathroom and start praying. That's because he'd gone to hell and he'd seen what happens when people with unforgiveness go. And so that's just me. I always try to make it a point to get that out of my system. I don't want any kind of antagonism in my life toward anybody. You know, I know it's a struggle, David. It's a struggle every day. Everybody, it is. It's a struggle. But you got to hit it. I just hit it head on. And eventually you start praising God, you start blessing them, you know, you bless them, you try to create some happy talk with them. That's, at least that's what I try to do. Or I sit there and criticize them. Go ahead, Marlon.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit confused. I've been telling people for years that anger is the spirit of anger. That's not right, then?
Well, let's see. Now, as the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. And you can consider some of that anger, you know. It's actually unforgiveness. And but there could be a spirit that has entered into the picture after they've experienced that anger for so many years, you know, that's now driving them. And like David and I was talking about earlier, you can cast that demon out that's been driving that hatred and that anger out of them. And then you have to minister to them to tell them, hey, look, now, you've got rid of the demon. Now ask the Lord to take the anger out of you, is the way I see it. Does that make any sense, Marlon?
Yeah. Oh, it does.
Well, it's according to what the scriptures say, the hatred is a fleshly thing. It's something that you your flesh does, and we're trying to get rid of the flesh. And as you kill the flesh, you're going to kill that anger too, and that too. You have to teach perfection through Christ. You have to teach how shall we die, you know, that type of teachings along with. And of course, you can't do it in one setting. There ain't no way. But you have to tell them about the spirits that'll come back on you seven times greater, and it will be, if you don't get in the Word and seek God and to walk that holy walk and to allow God to work that anger out of you. It's essential that you tell them that. I said a lot then, but I don't know if it, the anger part is a flesh part. The hatred is a flesh part. It's unforgiveness. And you have to allow God, you have to pray that God would take that from you. But your job after you pray that is to believe and trust God that He's done it. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie. Let me unmute you. Go ahead.
There. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Hey, Dave, I want to address that question because I work in the workplace too. And I think for me, there's people that I work with and they're not saved. And what I've come across is those people that tend to frustrate me or antagonize me is the spirits that are in them that are doing it. And it's the trial is for me. And some days when I've really been spent a lot of time praying or in the Word, they don't bother me at all. Other times, there's a lot of stuff going on in the office, and it seems like those demons are everywhere. The frustration, the irritability, the people loud talking that, you know, just, you know, like, why are these people bothering me so much? And then I'll be in the kitchen, they'll be watching CNN, and there'll be the political stuff. And there's a lot of people there that, majority of people there are not Trump supporters. So I hear all kinds of stuff that really start to I don't know how to say it. I don't like hearing it. So I was like, I have to leave. I can't be in there. So for you to say you turn the other way and, you know, don't want to you don't want to be around that. You know, we've got to protect our ears, protect what we see, protect our soul, don't let that stuff come into you. And generally what I end up doing is just going and praying for those people that, you know, knowing it's the demons that are in them or working through them that are trying to get you riled up, trying to get me riled up, to get me in unforgiveness, trying to get me in a faction. There's a lot of faction in my office because of the political thing. So just, yeah, you got to guard your heart. But I don't think it's, I always have to ask the Lord if it's unforgiveness. It's like, I don't want that in me. He knows my heart about that. And it's really a trial for me to overcome and really learn to love them. I don't have a problem with any of them. I know it's the demons in them. I can get along with everybody there, but there are times where those spirits in there, out of their mouths, just, they want to irritate you.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that helps. Because it's not, I don't think you're doing anything wrong. I don't think it's unforgiveness, mm-hmm. but yep, that's between you and, you know, your heart and all, but it's just trying to cast all of that stuff down before it gets any kind of foothold there. Before it starts coming out of your own mouth.
That's a good point, Julie. Thank you. You know, David, I don't deal with outside world a whole lot, and anymore except when I go back to Arkansas, and I just and it's mostly family members, and I just let it go. I already know what's going on, you know. I'll talk to them in a friendly way and do that. But as far as a workplace like that, Julie's right. You know, if there's something going on, it's going to dummy up your spirit, you know, get out of there if you can, you know.
That's kind of what I do on some, not everything, but especially around people that do not want to be involved with any kind of Christianity. They don't want to be spoken to. They don't want to hear about it. I've got it to the point where some people, well, you got to watch what you say, because they'll make sure they're taking down notes of everything you do say so they can bring it up against you.
Yeah.
If they can bring you up to some kind of a firing squad. And this is what you said. And then that boy, it's like, oh my gosh, see, every word you say, you got to just watch. It's that point where some places and some people are at work, and my work is very legalistic. They follow that stuff. They tell you, you know, even the union I'm at, you know, you got issues with somebody or steward or management. They say something, you write it down. I mean, they're going to come back with everything you say at one time if they're trying to build a case against you. So that's kind of the environment I'm in. So there's people you can watch, you can be around and be fine, and others, you just gotta watch what you say, you know, just turn around and walk the other way. Not that you're trying to screw anything up, but that environment's there, you know. So
this is something that'll help you. 1 Peter 2:11-12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts which war against your soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So they'll be able to look back and go, okay, they'll remember. God will give them a remembrance of how, you know, your works and what they're writing down, take a note, whatever. That gave me a lot of comfort when the Lord gave me that.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Julie. Put that up there, Matt.
And it got better when I quit hitting people, but no.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good advice. That's very good advice. 1 Peter.
1 Peter 2:11-12. Yeah.
Amen. Okay, anybody else got an experience with supernatural manifestations? Can Satan mimic the supernatural light? How? How does he do that? Give me an instance of how he does that. I'm thinking of one that started up in about 1994. That's still going on today. That was a supernatural spirit. What about the Kundalini spirit that's in the false revival? You can see it manifested. All you got to do is go to one of their meetings, and they're walking around like a jerking chicken, you know, barking like dogs, laughing, falling out of the pews laughing, that kind of stuff. That's the Kundalini spirit. That's the spirit of Satan, you know. Remember, this gift of discerning of spirits is supernatural insight into the spirit world, where there are divine spirits as well as evil spirits. We had a little girl, was you going to tell that, Missy? We had a little girl in our fellowship. At the time, she wasn't but four or 5 years old. Who's that? That's Dave. 4 or 5 years old. And after the one of the fellowships, she told her dad, she said, "I saw big old angels." And her dad said, "Yeah." He said, "How big?" He said, "Oh, they're bigger than you, Papa." And she said, "And I saw Jesus." And I after he told dad, he said the angels. He didn't say anything about Jesus or Paul or any of the rest of them that she'd seen. And so afterwards, I'm a kid guy, okay? I like to play with all the kids. Anyway, I was pumping her after the fellowship. I said, "Mary," I said, "what'd you see, girl?" She said, "Oh, I saw angels." I said, "Yeah." I said, "How big are they? Are those bigger than you and Papa?" I said, "How big?" She said, "Oh, they went way up." I said, "What else did you see?" She said, "I saw Jesus." I said, "Yeah?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "And I saw the Holy Spirit." I said, "Get out of here." She said, "Yeah, I saw the Holy Spirit." She said, I said, "What'd he look like?" She said, "Fire." I said, "Oh, she saw him." I said, "How'd you know it was the Holy Spirit?" She said, "Jesus told me." I said, "Hey, you got it, girl. You got it." So she was seeing in that she had discerning of spirits. The Lord showed her. This little 4-year-old girl happened five years ago. I never will forget it. Right in the fellowship. Julie, you remember when we was over at New Life at that church building? When we were sharing the church with somebody else? Anyway, that's where it was. That's where it took place. So that's discerning of spirits. Little 4-year-old girl. Wasn't that awesome? What about anybody else?
I kind of wish we could see like that, like the little children, we could see things sometimes like that. I know it's because of their innocence. But it'd be nice to be able to have that realm open up like that.
Well, the Lord can do that. It's a gift, you know. You can ask for it, and He'll show you things. I do that quite often, you know. Lord, show me some stuff here, you know. Show me this or that or whatever it is that I'm looking for. And sometimes He does. All right. What else on discernment of spirits? Give me an instance in the Word of God. Of a discerning of spirits.
How about when Paul was being followed by that one woman? She was the she was a soothsayer or something.
Yep.
She could tell people's I don't know what it was. Some kind of where they got them today. They got those women on the, you know, the tell the future kind of person kind of stuff. And she was following, and she was saying, "These men are represent the Son of God," and she was exhorting what they were, but it was the demon that was doing it, which broke them. And he turned around and he cast the demon out of her. After a couple of days, he got tired of it, and then they had a little skirmish because the people are making money on her, wanted to take him to court or whatever. And they were upset because that spirit was gone, so she could no longer divine.
Yep, that's true. Who was it? Might have been somebody on the site that they had cast a spirit out of a hypnotist, and that hypnotist couldn't hypnotize a bee from that point on. Couldn't do it. God, that's a spirit.
So hypnotism is a spirit too?
I guess it is. They cast it out of him. He couldn't do it no more.
I was in a psychology class where the guy was big on that. That was part of his practice. He actually tried to put us under while we were in class once. He put a few people under while we was doing it. But I was fighting it the whole time. That was before I'd come more of an understanding of what we do now. But I'd seen that happen. He was one of these fellows that believed that anything that happened to you was something you could control, like sickness and all that. It was something, and he had that idea, understanding that he knew it was something you had control over, but he didn't have the authority in Christ. He just knew that he had authority over it. But his authority was his own realm, his own spiritual realm, because of who he thought he was and the mind thing with hypnotism. He was taught psychology. That was a class years ago in college.
Yeah. When I was in the Navy, I don't know where it was. I don't remember where I was. Might have been over in Norfolk, Virginia. They had a hypnotist come in there, and all of us Navy guys was sitting around a kind of an outside auditorium. And this guy had these sailors doing all kinds of stupid stuff, you know, running around like a monkey, you know, and climbing up a pole and that kind of junk. Just making them do all kinds of silly things. And I knew then, I said, there's something wrong with that. You know, I've never been hypnotized, never had the inclination to get hypnotized. I don't believe you can get hypnotized if you don't want to be hypnotized. Now, that's just me. Has anybody ever been hypnotized? If you have, we'll cast that spirit out of you.
I think if you are under the spiritual, if you're under the umbrella of Jesus Christ and protection, you're going to be able to fight it off. I mean, that is a definite spirit coming over top of people. Mm-hmm. I actually worked with a guy too for, I don't know, a number of years, and he was in the Air Force, and he got out. And they actually gave him training on how to hypnotize people, and he worked a little bit with this group in the military. And he had to, the reason why he had it was in case. He told me about one incident where he had to put a general under because this general had things in his past that were bothering him, but they had to work that through because they didn't want to lose this guy because of his knowledge and the classified information he had. So he had to put this guy in there to help him through some things. But at the same time, when he did it, he had to have people in the room because they didn't want to make sure he wasn't spilling anything he wasn't supposed to be spilling, or he wasn't going to be asking questions to get information from him. But afterwards, he continued that practice even, and on the outside, he would do it on the side here and there. And he was telling me stories and different things. And you know what? When I started listening to some of the stories, even back then, it was like, wow, like, you know, this takes me beyond what I believe. Because the things that he was saying, like he told me about a woman that supposedly couldn't lose weight. She always had a weight problem. So he was getting her through that, and this is where the creepy stuff starts. He was, and I know it's demonic. I know it was a demon talking through him or whatever, and had her convinced. But he had her under, and she was saying that in her previous life she had been a boy in Missouri, and was swimming under the banks of the Mississippi, and they would go and find these little tunnels to get underneath, I don't know, or something like that. And the banks overflowed one time, they couldn't get out, and so he drowned under the banks. And so after that, he didn't drown, but he died of starvation. And because of that, the thing of starvation stayed in this person, so that because of her next life, she couldn't wait. Now, I know darn well, you know, it's like, but he was, you know, he would take people beyond their world, beyond their realm. And I'm thinking, boy, you know, this is not really my belief level. But that's what was coming out of these people. So I'm sure that because of what he's doing and what he was doing, he's dealing in a spiritual realm. He's talking to demons. That's all I can think. But he was convinced what he's hearing was true.
Yeah, that was absolutely a demon there. You know, these guys that have seen, that have been captured and taken on a spaceship, and they've operated on them and sent them back, you know, and then they tell this tale. That's demons. That's demonic. By the way, that stuff that he was doing with that general and stuff, that's witchcraft. Absolutely witchcraft.
Well, if the military does that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're good at it, too. Amen. All right.
I have to bust in and say something. If I was that guy that was hypnotized in general, I couldn't help but asking what was in Area 51. It was going to happen. So, just saying. It was a good thing there were probably other people in the room recorded, and that probably you'd never see me again, being Tom O'Bay. But I still know.
Area 51. Y'all ever heard of Andrew Bisaggio? Okay, good. All right, next. He was one of those guys that his dad was a scientist for U.S. government, and supposedly got transported from Washington, D.C. to New Mexico to that Area 51 place. Many times within a day, you know, just be going this. He said he went into this little room, kind of like an elevator. And then next thing you know, the door would open and they'd be in New Mexico. He saw grays, he said, and all of this kind of stuff, you know, just some out demonic stuff is what it is. And I truly believe that that some of our government is involved in working with the demons that they think are aliens.
Hey, Michael, that guy, do you hear about him on Coast to Coast?
No, I heard.
Andrew, he's a lawyer, right?
No, well, I don't remember. Gosh, it's been years since I heard.
Yeah, I think so. He's a lawyer, and he talks about time travel as well. The things that they have and whatnot. And, you know, he's really entertaining to listen to, right? Yeah. But Ancient Aliens is really entertaining to watch, too. You just got to replace them, you know? So the production value is great, but the story, it's entertaining. Give it that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it goes to show you how deceptive that the demonic realm can be, and people fall for it, you know? So anyway, we have the protection of Christ. We don't have to worry about that stuff. If we want to get translated from here to there, we just ask the Lord, don't we? And that's where the next subject comes up is faith. Now that's a big subject there. Faith is a big subject. Does anybody got anything else on discerning of spirits? You got any questions, any comments on discerning of spirits?
Is that a gift? Can that be a gift, or can that be just something that we can fall into here and there when the Lord wants to reveal it to us? I know it goes both ways probably, right?
Well, it's a gift. It's called the gifts of discerning of spirits. I mean, it's called the discerning of spirits is what it's called. Not a gift. It's just the discerning of spirits. And it is a gift from God. And what does the Holy Spirit say? What does the Word say? The Word says, and He gives it to those of His will, God's will. It's up to Him to give it to you. If He wants you to have it, you know, you can get it. It's for the edification and exhortation of the people to help them out. Do y'all know, I think I sent it in the email, the nine gifts and what they were called, the revelation gifts. Did everybody get the email?
You just sent that out recently?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's three revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, three power gifts. The spiritual gifts, the revelation gifts reveal something. Okay, that reveals something. That's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, the thing we just got through talking about. Now, the power gifts, now that's something that, and I'm not bragging, but that's something that the Lord has used me in the past in a lot of ways. The spiritual gifts that do something. And the reason he allowed it, because I asked him to. I was an evangelist, and when you're an evangelist, they want to see them signs and wonders, don't they? And that's the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And I work primarily in the gift of faith and the gift of healing. Now, I've worked in the gift of miracles before, but the gift of faith is when God puts it in your heart, you know, when you pray, it's going to happen. You just know. I mean, it's just annoying. Anybody tell me what faith is? Faith is the spirit, the gift of faith is supernatural, right? All these gifts are supernatural. It's not something that in the natural, like the Baptists tell you and other people tell you. It's a supernatural gift. It's not something that you can learn. It's not something that you can look in a book and get. It's a supernatural experience from God. You can, no other way that you could have done the things that you've done by your learning or by your efforts at all. It's just a gift from God, and it happens. Tell me what faith is. What's your gift of faith? There's ordinary faith, and then there's a gift of faith, okay? Everybody understands that. When you got saved, you had an ordinary faith, and God gave you that faith to understand that you're saved now. You've crossed the line, man. You're in there. You done had your ticket punched, okay? That, of course, we know that's not true. You knew that you were saved, but there's something that we have to do after that, of course, and that's the progressive part of our salvation. But anyway, that's ordinary faith. That's faith to believe that God's going to save you. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy's got it up there, Hebrews 11 and 1. Smith Wigglesworth said this one time. He said that if you will take a step of ordinary faith, okay, that's the faith that you know that you've got. When you come to the end of that faith, very often this supernatural faith, that supernatural gift of special faith, it takes over. That's what comes in at that time. It's like one time when I had a bunch of people in a community center in West Memphis, Arkansas, and there was a little four-year-old boy in there that his feet were, I mean, they were just all messed up. He was that away from birth. They were like this and crooked and just all kinds of, which way, club foot, I think is what they call them. And we was asking his mama about him, and she told us, she said that the doctors told us he's going to have to break his ankles to straighten them out, and then break them two times. Break them, straighten them, let it heal, break them again, straighten them, and let it heal. And we asked her, said, are you a Christian? Yeah. Well, do you believe that God can heal him? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe it. I hope he can, you know. Well, we know we can. We know we can. And anyway, we were praying for this kid, and the supernatural knowing came in. We knew that kid was fixing to get, he's healed. He was healed. I just knew he was going to be healed. I knew he was healed. And he was. God just straightened him out immediately. Boy went to walking just picture perfect, you know. And I knew from that point on, I knew anybody came up and got prayed for was going to be healed. Everybody came up there got healed. And it's happened to me, I don't know, more than once when that happened. A supernatural gift of faith comes in, and you know that it don't make any difference what it is. It could be, it could have been the gift of healing, but I think it was the gift of faith because I had the faith to believe that he was going to get healed. Okay. That's where the supernatural takes over. It's when your faith ends and you know it's not anymore you, it's God. Under Wigglesworth's ministry, at least three different people were raised from the dead, and there were probably many more. One instance of a person who was raised from the dead was a man named Mr. Mitchell, whom Wigglesworth personally knew. One day when coming home from an open-air meeting, Wigglesworth learned that his wife, Polly, was at Mr. Mitchell's house. The day before, when Wigglesworth had visited Mitchell, the sick man had been close to death. As Wigglesworth hurried to Mitchell's house, he heard screaming coming from the house. On the way into Mr. Mitchell's room, he bypassed Mrs. Mitchell, who was crying. He's gone. He's gone. And Wigglesworth related his experience. He said, I just passed Mrs. Mitchell and went into the room, and immediately I saw that Mitchell had gone. I could not understand it, but I began to pray. My wife was always afraid that I would go too far, And she laid hold of me and said, "Don't, Dad. Don't you see that he's dead?" But I continued praying. I got as far as I could with my own faith. And then God laid hold on me. Oh, it was such a laying hold that I could believe for anything. That's the way it is, too. The faith of the Lord Jesus laid hold of me, and a solid peace came into my heart. I shouted, "He lives, he lives, he lives," and he's living today. Praise God. And that's exactly how it feels. You just know. It's a supernatural knowing that when you pray for something, and it don't make any difference if it's moving one mountain from one area to another. If he gives you that faith, that mountain's moving. That's just the way it is. I remember, David, was it you that was talking about Curry Blake here a while back? Yeah, Curry, he's got his daughter now has got to be close to 30. But when she was just a baby, just a few months old, I guess, she fell out of the second story window of their house onto the pavement right in front of the kitchen where he was sitting, and he saw her hit the concrete, and she just splatted, just splat. I mean, she was dead. I mean, looked like every bone in her body. He said, "Looked like every bone in her body." I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I got up off the table, and I went out there, and I said, 'You will live and not die in the name of Jesus.'" And said, I said that for constantly for an hour and a half, and said, for an hour, I think he said. And he said, my wife said, she kept coming in there. She'd say, "She's dead, Curry. She's dead." And he said, "Get out of here if you can't believe with me. Get out of here." And that's what you have to do. You have to get that, all that unbelief out of there. And he said, I said, how long did you do that? He said, "I did it until I just got the unction to say it. I pushed her up against the wall." He said, "And you will live and not die in the name of Jesus." And I'd turn her loose and she'd fall down. He said, "I did it again. I pushed her up against that wall." He said, "I said, you live and not die in the name of Jesus." She fell down again. He said, "The third time, I pushed her back up against that wall. And I said, you'll live and not die in the name of Jesus." And she started coughing. And she's alive and running around with Curry today because of it. She's in the ministry with him. Awesome.
You did talk about losing one daughter. They had some kind of a growth on her tongue.
That must have been after Curry and I split.
It might have been his first daughter, maybe, or something. I don't know. But he talked about this one. It was like all the veins and everything was on the outside of her tongue. And it was just, it would stick out, and they actually would put something over it. And they never thought she would live very long then. And she was like into 2 years old, and they'd wake up all the time and see blood everywhere where she had broke it or something in the night. And they'd always be running her to the hospital and stuff. And one time something happened where it took her life. And that's when he was, at the time, trying to find people that in the healing ministry that would help.
I vaguely remember him telling about that. I didn't know she had died.
That's what
I don't remember.
That's how he got in the ministry, because he couldn't find anybody to help him.
Yeah.
And he said he vowed to God he would never let that happen again.
Yeah, I remember.
And that's what got him started.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, he started.
Yeah, he said he's always available.
Yeah.
He doesn't say it, but he's got a number on the website or something you can call, and it basically goes right back to him. He says he'll always be available for prayer or whatever, because he's not going to let Satan. He said he's vowed in his heart that he's never going to let Satan have that victory again. He's going to, he said that's one person Satan should have never let die. Because of that, I'm out to take and overcome his kingdom and, trample on anything he can do, because I'm not going to allow that to happen again. He said that's one person they never should have took from me.
Amen. Often the gift of faith works in conjunction with the gift of healing, and the gift of miracles, the working of miracles. They all three work in conjunction with one another. Can somebody give me an instance in the scriptures where those happen? I mean, just look at the Gospels. The Gospel shows you when those gifts are working together, the gift of faith. The Lord had that gift of faith. Remember what happened when Lazarus died? Wasn't that the gift of faith? He knew that he was going to go over there. He said he tarried. That was actually the gift of wisdom that Lord had told him. He said, you just tarry here until Lazarus dies, and we're going to show these people something. We're going to show them the power of God. And that was a gift of wisdom that he had. But when he got there, that was a gift of faith and the miracles all working in conjunction. Because that was that not a bona fide miracle? The man was dead. He was rotten. And then the Lord hollered at him, Lazarus. What's a good thing there wasn't nobody else named Lazarus that was dead in that tomb, because they'd have come out too, I believe.
He was dead for 3 days. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Is there some symbolism there too, maybe?
The what?
Is there maybe something symbolic to that, being raised on the third day?
Could be. Go ahead, Julie. I'll get you.
There we go. Yeah. I thought he was dead in the tomb 4 days.
Okay.
So I thought it was symbolic of like it'd been 4,000 years for 4 days, 4 years.
Okay. Years. So I'd go for that.
Like they said, this 4 days.
Yeah. Could be. I think it was 4 days.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
Let's look it up.
But anyway, it was a gift of faith and the gift of the word of the what am I trying to say? Word of wisdom in that instance that was working. Those two worked together in conjunction. The Lord had it all, didn't he? He's working all those gifts. Has anybody got a story about the faith that God gave you, supernatural faith that he's given you to minister to people or to do whatever it is, to believe? Yeah, go ahead, Missy. You have to unmute yourself. I'll get you. Go ahead.
What came to my mind was this time I was at the, this was when I was in Tennessee, and I was walking in Kefauver, and I could see across the lake that there was somebody. It looked like they were trying to start something. I could see that it was a worker, and they were having a hard time starting a piece of equipment. And so the closer I got, I saw that it was a man there. He's standing in a truck, and he was trying to start a chainsaw. And I was like thinking, and it was just like I was watching him when I was watching him, you know. And it was like the Lord was telling me to go over there. And I'm like, oh, but I'm a woman and he's a man, you know. And I was just like, I was watching him when I got past, and just a little bit past. And I knew I had to walk over there because I knew the Lord was telling me, he just would not let me go, that I needed to walk over there. And so I walked over there, and I don't remember exactly how what all was said anymore, but basically the gist of it was is I said something like you can't get your chainsaw started, and he said no. And I said I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He goes, yeah. And I said something like do you believe God can fix that for you? And He goes, yeah, but you could tell he was just like, he was kind of like, almost like giving lip service, you know, almost like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go along with what she says or something. Yeah, I could just kind of tell that he wasn't like really on board with me, and he was looking at me like I had four heads, you know. But anyway, so, and he had put it in the back of his truck, and so I was standing there looking at it, looking over the bed in it, and then he was over on the other side of the truck. He was trying to get away from me, but anyway. So I said, do you want to agree with me? Come over here and lay hands on it, and we'll, you know, command that to be fixed, you know, in the name of Jesus. And he goes, you go ahead. So I laid my hand on it, and I said, Lord, you know, he doesn't want to have to go back to the shop and get another chainsaw, you know, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I just commanded it in the name of Jesus to work, you know, and so I said. After I did that, I said, well, come over and, you know, start it up. And he pulled it out and he cranked it once. Didn't make any sound. He cranked it twice. It sputtered a little bit. Third time, boom, you know, and it got going, you know. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, you know. And I walked over to him and, like, gave him a high five. And I said, Lord's awesome. I asked him what his name was. His name was Jay, you know, and he was just like, so uncomfortable with the whole thing. He couldn't, it was funny though, you know. And so he went to working with it then, and you know, and but you know, that was just like an awesome pick me up, you know. It was like the Lord gave me the faith to do that, the boldness and the faith to do that. I knew if I walked away, it just kept walking and didn't go talk to the guy, because I knew the Lord was telling me to, you know. I knew I was going to regret it, and I was afraid the Lord was going to spank me for it, for not obeying him, you know. And because, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like, you know how men's ego, you know. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm like, But I was going through a trial myself at the time. I was walking and I think my knee was hurting really bad or something at the time. And I was just, going through that trial and believing the Lord to heal that up and all. And that was just a really pick me up. And then when I walked away and continued doing my walk, I had tears in my eyes, you know. I was just like praising and thanking the Lord. That was just like totally blew me away, because it's like, you know, okay, if God will fix a chainsaw, how much more will he heal somebody's illness? I mean, it's like, I mean, seriously. You know, he cares more about a person, you know, one of his children who's healing and deliverance is their bread, you know. It's our bread, you know. How much more will he, when you pray for someone, heal them, you know, as compared to a chainsaw? I mean, that just gave me such a boost. I'm like, a chainsaw is like nothing. A chainsaw, you know, but it was to show him, you know, God does stuff like this. It was to encourage me and give me an even greater boost of faith and all. But anyway, that was just really, that was awesome.
You messed up that Baptist day, didn't you?
Oh yeah, he probably was Baptist.
You ask anybody in this area here if they're a Christian, they'll say yeah.
I know, it's the Bible Belt. But another story, when I was out at Key Father Walking, there's these two women, you know, I got to know them just a little bit talking to them. One was Michelle and one was Emily. And Emily was the smaller one, and she was the younger one. And one day I saw her hobbling along here, and I asked her, you know, she stopped and they were taking a break, drink break, whatever. And I asked her, what was wrong? And she was telling me about it. And the Lord gave me the faith to pray for her, you know. And she had been dealing with her ankle for like 2 weeks, and it still was pretty bad, you know. She couldn't walk nearly as much as she normally did. She was really, you know, limping. And so the Lord gave, you know, I talked to her. I said, do you believe in divine healing? She goes, oh yeah, you know. I knew there were Christians from speaking to them previously. And so I said, why don't we pray and command that to be healed, you know. And she says, okay. So I put my hand on it and I commanded to be healed and so on. And then the next time I saw her, which was probably not maybe a week or two later or something like that, she says to me, she says, hey, she says, later on that day, I realized all of a sudden my ankle didn't hurt anymore. I didn't have any pain in it or anything. And she was just really like, she was amazed too, you know? So, yeah, that was cool. You know, I would like more experiences like that, you know, the Lord put it in me, you know, to go and pray for someone, more opportunities to do that, you know, sometimes, I'll ask the Lord, I want more opportunities to do stuff like that.
Well, I ask him and he'll do it because he'll run people in front of him. You just have to be, we have to, when we ask him those type of questions or those type of things, be sure to look for it.
Right.
That's the faith he's looking for. So is she going to be looking for it, or is she just doing that because she liked that one time, you know?
Right. No.
And I guarantee you he'll test your faith. He's tested mine through the years. Okay, anybody else got an experience they'd like to, on faith, they'd like to share?
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Gayno.
I was just going to share one. I think maybe I have shared it before. This was back when I was still teaching, and I prayed for one of my coworkers. She was in the school was built in two different parts, and normally I worked in the older part, but this particular day I did go down to the restroom that was in the newer part. And when I went in there, one of the teachers was in there, and she was leaning against the wall, and she was really not feeling well. She said she didn't know. She thought it was, she was, I think she thought it was her heart. She didn't know, but she was having trouble speaking and even like moving her arms. And I just asked her if I could pray for her. I said, well, do you believe that God heals? And she says, yes, I do. I knew that she was Catholic, but anyway, I asked her that. And so I prayed with her, and it was just almost immediately her symptoms left. And she thanked me for praying for her. Later in the day, she said, I thank you for praying for me, but she says, my family does want me to go to the doctor this evening when I get home from school. And so she did, but it was an awesome feeling. And just to know that he answers so quickly. And if we step out in faith and just do as he would have us to do and pray for them. And I mean, it wasn't anything that was, you know, on my mind for sure that day, but she was in a really tough place. And she said, you know, I said to my aide, I'm really not feeling well. And her aide says, well, I don't feel good today either. But she said she didn't offer to help her. But anyway, she appreciated the prayer. And I just, it was a blessing to pray for her and to see the Lord's work in her. And she knew that it was him. She absolutely knew that it was him. Anyway, I thank him for that, for meeting her need and and also for letting me be a part of that situation. And I guess that was all I wanted to share.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your faith. Go ahead, Tim.
When I was studying this subject today, I was got into Matthew a little bit, and in 17, where the disciples had trouble with healing, on the wrong page here, healing the boy that had epilepsy or whatever it was. Let's see. Sorry about that. There came to a man kneeling and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers grievously. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and oftentimes into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and with the demon went out of him, and the boy was cured in that hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast it out? And he said unto them, because of your little faith. And then in the sub, down at the bottom, in the ancient text, it brings out that that in the ancient text, that it said that many authorities insert here, but this kind of, I guess, of healing goeth not out, but save by prayer and fasting. And so I'm thinking sometimes, you know, we stand in faith and we put all of our faith into it and do a healing or a prayer for somebody. And I'm just wondering if maybe we're missing out on the healing because, you know, fasting is very important. And I said because of prayer and fasting, that sometimes faith may not be quite enough and that it would put a little more into it. And I just want to know what people thought of that.
Well, according to that particular scripture that you're talking about, prayer and fasting, that was added in there. That was not part of the numerics. That's not in the numerics at all. Here's a thing you might consider. If somebody's dying out there, you got time to fast. If somebody's hurt out there in an automobile accident, you got time to fast. I'm just raising these questions up, you know.
I know faith is so important and so big, and it does work. And I just wondered if maybe that we were missing out on something when I saw that footnote, and I just wanted to get what
you said. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, don't get me wrong. Fasting is good. Fasting helps kill the flesh. And I used to, before I go out on the weekends all over the Mid-South, evangelizing, I would fast for 3 days, and it was just something I did, you know, and God used that. But it's not necessary. It's not a necessary thing for faith to work is fasting. Oh, did you hear that? Did y'all hear that? That's lightning, thunder. Yeah, I guess it's fixing the rain. But anyway, that the fasting is good, and I'm not belittling that at all. But faith works when you need it. When you need it. As you need it. You know how to build your faith up? Anybody tell me how you build your faith up? Just your regular, ordinary, day-to-day faith. You know how you do that? How you do that?
Praying in the Spirit.
Okay. That's a good one. Praying in the Spirit. That edifies yourself, doesn't it? And there's another way, too, that's just as good. Anybody tell me that?
Staying in the Word.
There you go. Staying in the Word. Getting in the Word. Understanding the Word. That edifies you and builds your faith up. It always builds your faith up, getting in the Word and praying in the Spirit. John G. Lake, somebody asked him one time and said, what is the mystery? What is the quite, what, why, how do you get such power to do the things you do? He said, praying in the Spirit. He said, I pray in the Spirit long. And I think he said one time, I pray in the Spirit long and loud. And that, you know, that's a good way to do it. I get up here on this mountainside. I'm sure Missy did too when she was on her walk down in Kefauver. But when I go around the mountain here, I pray in the spirit all the time. Pray in the spirit. And if you'll do that an hour or two a day, man, you'll be ready for anything. You'll be ready for anything. And staying in the Word, that's another big, big part of building your faith is staying in the Word. I know sometimes we lack. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of sometimes just sloughing off. You know, you ever get in those days where you just want to go out and feed your flesh? I hate to say it, but sometimes you just want to go out and feed your flesh. And that's the wrong thing to do. That's when you ought to not do that. But anyway. All right, anybody else? I'm kind of rambling now.
Well, Julie, it was 4 days.
What's
yeah.
that?
Oh, yeah, Lazarus was dead 4 days in the tomb. Thanks, Dave. Yeah. I have a testimony to share about faith that was for somebody else who's a non-believer, who's a coworker, and this just happened here maybe about a month ago. In the office I work in, one of our coworkers, there's three administrative help, and I'm one of three, and one of them was out for 3 weeks. And so I just left two of us, and we had to split up her work between the two of us. And in the second week that she was out, he started getting sick. He came into work. He felt really bad. He said he felt bad. And I'm like, oh, no, you'll be fine, you know. And he's like, no, I won't. He's a real pessimist and has a lot of negativity, and he's got a lot of problems. But so anyhow, somebody I've been praying for, but I went to the Lord. I'm like, crying out to God. I'm like, God, I can't do my work and both of their works. I can't do it. I need him to be well. And I said, Lord, can I pray for him to be well? Would you heal him if I pray? This is to bless me. Cause there's no way I could have done what needed to get done if he was sick too. And I got a yeah from the Lord. So without him, of course, knowing, I went into my prayer closet and commanded that infirmity out of him, and he God healed him. I didn't say anything to him. I asked him the next day how he was doing. He's like, I'm better. You know, he's feeling better. I said, you sound better. He's like, yeah. He goes, and I know this is the Lord, because you know he would never accept, and I would never tell him that I prayed for him at that point, that he wouldn't have received any of that. But he said that he had one of the guys I work with, Gate from Mexico. His name is Gustavo. He gave him some honey from Mexico. And he said that's what healed him. And then a sister later reminded me, it's like, well, what's the honey in the scriptures? And I'm like, oh, how awesome. You know, Jesus is like honey, right? So that was just the connection I made. That's just the Lord blessed me in praying for somebody who's not a believer, but for my benefit, because I needed him to be well and not miss any work.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give you something here. The gift of faith is distinct from the working of miracles. Although both gifts produce miracles, one of them is active, the other is passive. The working of miracles is active. It actively works a miracle. The gift of faith doesn't work a miracle, but passively receives a miracle. In other words, the difference between the working of miracles and the gift of faith is that the gift of working of miracles actively does, and the gift of special faith passively receives. Okay. So I got them backwards there, if that's the case. The gift of the faith is for the person who is receiving that part of it, or receiving that prayer, or receiving as a gift of faith, or working of miracles is the person that's praying for him. Does that make sense?
So the gift of faith is going to be for our receiving end. Somebody receiving it needs to have a gift, needs to have faith in order to receive what we're trying to pray for.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense to me. Yeah. If you're the one that's praying for something for yourself, you know, like, whatever, a healing or whatever, you can pray for yourself, and the Lord can give you the gift of faith to receive that healing. And that'd be supernatural, because in the natural, you wouldn't have that faith to do it, right? Go ahead, Dave.
Well, this kind of changes things a little bit. So if we trying to pray for somebody, we know we're having a difficulty on their end because they're having a problem receiving it by faith, we can ask God to give them that gift of faith so we can pray for them for their healing.
Possibly, yeah. But, you know, it says the Holy Spirit gives us what he wills. He's the one that gives it.
I have had difficulty with people. If you want to pray for them or give them healing, like there's a woman at work I'd like to do it right now with, but I could see she fights with that. She's fighting, you know, you've got people that aren't at that where we're at. They don't want to come into that level because they don't have that faith for it. I don't know where she's at on this. We could pray to the Lord to ask that. He would give her the gift of faith, and then we could move forward on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. I'll tell you what, though. I've had the gift of miracles, The gift of healing is another one that I knew when I had the gift of healing upon me, I knew whoever I was going to pray for was going to get healed. It didn't make no difference what the problem was. They were going to get healed, and they did get healed because of it. And I guess the gift of faith was in operation too, because, you know, I don't know if y'all have ever been in a setting where somebody spectacularly got healed, and it boosted everybody's faith to the point that they wanted to get prayed for too, and they got healed too because the faith went sky high. That's what happened when that kid got his feet straightened out. God straightened his feet out. Everybody in there got prayed for, got healed. And I did that in the church one time. A lady come up and asked for prayer, and she got healed, and she went to screaming and a hollering that she was healed. And, I mean, they lined up, and it was an hour later before I got out of there. But everybody got healed, and that was a gift of faith, I believe. That was in operation because they received. You know, all I had to do was put my hands on them and command it to go. I mean, there wasn't nothing to it. It wasn't nothing I did. It was all God. And that's cool. That's cool when he does that. So, yeah, so the gift of faith was in operation there. I can see now how it's operating. Y'all see it? Okay. Sometimes we get a little bit miscued. Kind of skewed on how these gifts operate. And we just have to go with somebody a little more experienced.
I guess we already have faith. The gift of faith would be somebody needing to receive it so they could receive what we're going to do for them.
Well, I have to receive faith enough to believe that God's going to do it, you know. Right. A gift of faith, when it comes in, you know it's going to happen. Hey, look, what have I got here?
We got another hour, don't we?
No. So next week, I'll tell you what, let's just take up all three gifts, the power gifts, okay? We'll continue talking about faith, miracles, and healings. Okay, we can do that. And then we'll start that on Tuesday of next week. Debbie and Denny made it. They're here. They're going to stay here for the pot blessing. All right. Anybody got anything else they need a prayer for before we get out of here, before we close up? Hey, Jackie, go ahead. I see you raised your hand sometime or other.
Yes,
go ahead.
Sir.
What's that?
Can you hear me?
What's the matter, Jackie?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. I would like some prayer, please.
Okay.
I need prayer for, I'm in the midst of a battle, an attack, like a trial. There's some exhaustion, really weak exhaustion, and I haven't been able to sleep worse than I normally battle with, but I need prayer for strength to be able to make the trip. I'll be going down to Tennessee, I guess, tomorrow, and I guess I'll be doing some night driving, so I'm praying the Lord. Last night I prayed and believed, and I didn't get hardly any sleep, and I kept busy all day today, and I just feel really wrung out, and I need prayer for strength and prayer for faith to believe that I'm going to get there so I can serve the body and help. And
okay, let's pray.
That's once I get down there for the pot blessing.
All right, let's just pray. And we got 12 other people here that's going to be believing with us, okay? And you're going to get that sleep in the name of Jesus right now. We command this spirit of insomnia off of her right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that supernaturally you're going to give her plenty of sleep tonight. It don't make any difference. She just sleeps 1 hour or 7 hours or 8 hours, Lord. You're going to give her supernatural energy tomorrow to make the trip, and she's going to have a wonderful time. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. You believe that, Jackie?
Yes, sir, I do. I'm believing. I'm stepping out in faith like he's been teaching me more and more. And this one, this trial just happened to come right when the opportunity came to be able to serve. And
amen.
I thought, what's our way to go?
Amen. We command witchcraft off of her right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Any kind of curses, we command you to go in the name of Jesus. We cast them down as null and void. Matter of fact, you just go back where you came from in Jesus' name and attack those people. Amen. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that Jackie's going to have supernatural energy in the morning. She's going to be refreshed. She's going to have a smile on her face and a skip in her walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, that's fine. Any kind of witchcraft might be coming against you being here. It might be going against the body.
Amen. Okay. All right.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you bind any kind of witchcraft activity might be coming against the body right now. To cause any kind of difficulties with us in the meeting, and we bind them and cast them off. You send them back the way they came. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right. What time y'all gonna be here?
I think probably about, I'm hoping by 6 a.m.
You're gonna be here by 6 a.m.?
Yes, sir. Not tomorrow morning. We're leaving tomorrow.
I started to say, you ain't got a whole lot of time to sleep. You better get yourself to bed, girl. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. That sounds good. We're looking forward to seeing you and Rob Bo.
Yes. Amen. It's going to be a quick visit again, I guess.
I know. One of these days, you're going to spend some time up here. You might
take
just...
care of business.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for... everybody here, we praise you, Father, for a good night's sleep for everybody tonight. Good, restful sleep, Lord. And we wake up in the morning praising you, Lord, and we thank you for it. We ask, Lord, that you show us more in your word. Give us new revelations, Lord. Put a deeper hunger for the word in our lives, Lord. And we thank you for it. And Lord, place it in our hearts to speak more in the spirits to help ourselves, Lord, in our prayer closet. We praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you that you're going to protect us, provide for us until we meet again. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.